He's only been able to chip and putt through his slow recovery. 21st-ranked Kansas will once again be without Darren Peterson for tonight's tilt against number 5 UConn. Celtics get Derek White back on the court as they face the Knicks.
Fox Sports update on KPRL, brought to you by Deeds Bar and Grill at the Pass Robles Golf Club. Great food, great view, great people. Prime Rib Monday, Taco Tuesday, Wine Down Wednesday, and specials Thursday through Saturday. Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Pass Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Pass Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
From the Ag Information Network, I'm Bob Larson with your agribusiness update. Well, the Senate unanimously passed the Whole Milk for Healthy Kids Act, clearing a major hurdle toward restoring whole and 2% milk options in school meal programs. The bill now heads to the House, where similar legislation passed overwhelmingly in 2023 before it can be sent to the president's desk. The measure would allow schools to serve whole and reduced fat milk alongside the current offerings of low-fat, fat-free, and flavored varieties. Federal trade data shows U.S. ethanol exports climbed sharply in August, driven by record sales to Canada and the European Union. Shipments reached 188.8 million gallons, a 15% increase from July and a 24% higher than a year earlier. Canada remained the top buyer at 74.4 million gallons, while another 47.6 million gallons moved through the Netherlands for use across the EU. The U.S. imported no foreign ethanol during the month. According to Bloomberg, President Trump says he urged Chinese President Xi Jinping to increase the speed and size of agricultural purchases. ProFarmer reports Trump and Xi held an hour-long phone call to discuss trade and ongoing tensions. Trump told reporters, "I asked him, I'd like you to buy a little faster, I'd like you to buy a little more." And he's more or less agreed to do that.
You've probably been told that to reach a millennial farmer, you have to go digital. Facebook, Vimeo, YouTube, Instagram, Pinterest, LinkedIn, an online publication, or maybe a podcast. But which one? Oh, and how receptive is this age group to your sales pitch during non-work social time? Maybe the best place to reach a farmer with a farming solution message is when they are, well, quite frankly, farming. You know, it's easy for us to find them during the day, as most farmers are behind the wheel of a pickup truck or farm equipment with the radio on, listening to this station featuring the Ag Information Network News. If you'd like to deliver information about your terrific product or service, give us a call and we'll connect you directly with our community of loyal farmer listeners. Reach real farmers right here, right now, as they listen to what is important to their farm operation. They trust us, they'll trust you.
From the Ag Information Network, I'm Bob Larson with today's Agribusiness Update.
Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Pass Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Pass Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Stuart Varney, and this is the Fox Business Report.
Stocks are trying to hold on to gains in afternoon trading, a day after the major averages snapped their five-session winning streak. Tech is advancing today, and the Magnificent Seven big tech companies are mostly higher, led by Amazon and Nvidia. And shares of Apple are up 1% and on track for its sixth straight record close. Bitcoin is trading over $92,000, up sharply from yesterday. The world's biggest cryptocurrency was trading over $85,000 for its worst day since March. Bitcoin is down almost 20% over the past month. Shares of Boeing are taking off and are up around 8% after its CFO offered an optimistic outlook for next year. While speaking at a conference today, he said that the plane maker expects higher deliveries for the 737 and 787 in 2026 and expects to grow cash flow next year. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
I'm Alpine skier Michaela Schifrin. I've won the most World Cup ski races in history. But what does success mean to me? Success means discipline. It's teamwork. It's the drive and passion inside of us. And it's why Stifel is one of the fastest growing global wealth management firms in the country. If you're looking for success, surround yourself with the people who will get you there. If you're an advisor or investor, choose Stifel, where success meets success.
Stifel Nicholas & Company Incorporated, member SIPC and NYSE.
Past performance is no indication of future results. Investing involves risk. Consult a financial advisor before making any investment decision.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080. Frenchman
had the last word on American charity, and it was over 100 years ago. I'll be right back.
Reagan, in his own voice, is brought to you by Mills Construction. For architectural, metal, roofing, and siding, call Aaron at 610-1256.
Americans are in their time of discontent, perhaps more so than at almost any other time in our history. Our young people have heard in classrooms too much of what's wrong with America. Many of the rest of us yearn to feel once again that old Yankee pride we once had, that belief in ourselves and in our nation. The other day I told you a story about a plane load of citizens who spontaneously came to the aid of a destitute father and his crippled son. It was a heartwarming story, but it really wasn't unusual. We're still a generous people, more so than most, and we put our money where our hearts tell us it should be. Every year, in spite of all the billions of dollars in taxes taken for welfare, federal aid to education, subsidies for the arts and cultural activities, we voluntarily contribute another $25 billion to do the same kind of good causes. There are some who would substitute government planning and government support for all this volunteer effort on our part. They lack confidence that we, the people, would care for the needy if government wasn't forcing us to do so. Well, some of us can still remember when foreign aid was voluntary. Sure, there was cooperation from government, but saving millions of Belgians from starvation after World War I was a volunteer citizens program. And so it was when Tokyo was devastated by an earthquake. We raised funds for starving Armenians, for victims of fire and flood and drought, wherever they were in the world. And the image of America all over the world was of the great, generous, helpful neighbor. More than 100 years ago, a Frenchman named Alexis de Tocqueville came to America fascinated by our democracy and our success. He wrote a book about us. He said to his French friends, "You may not believe this, but in America, when someone sees a problem that needs solving, he doesn't call on government. He crosses the street and talks to a neighbor about it. And the first thing you know, a committee is formed, and before long, the problem is solved without any bureaucrats being involved or any new government program started." Unquote. Well, if we lose this particular facet of our American personality, and we can lose it if we continue to ask government for help on things we really do for ourselves, something precious will be lost. Let's not substitute for charity the coercion of taxation. The next time you hear that line about things being too complex for us to handle without government help, that only big government has the capacity to do the really big things, don't you believe it. Here in this country, we have more churches and libraries, support more symphony orchestras, more operas, and more nonprofit theaters with voluntary contributions than all the rest of the world put together. We have more doctors and hospitals in proportion to population than any other people, and one-third of all the young people in the world who are getting a college education are getting it in this country. For that matter, if we double our present troubles, we're still better off than people anywhere else in the world. This is Ronald Reagan. Thanks for listening.
Reagan, in his own voice, brought to you by Mills Construction, specializing in pre-engineered metal buildings. Call Aaron at 610-1256.
Protecting what matters on The Right Choice, AM 1230, KPRL 99.3 FM with Barry Fisher. Advice and information on protecting what matters most in today's world. brought to you by Adler Belmont Insurance Brokers and their new associate, Heather Bordan, serving the commercial insurance needs of businesses on the Central Coast.
It's Tuesday, and it's 12:30. The Bear is in the building. It's time for Protecting What Matters. PWM is the broadcast that helps you become better shoppers and buyers of services and products to protect various aspects of your life, health, and property. We also explore current events, our history, community, institutions, and local treasures that are notable and worth preserving. Our guests and topics today from 12:30 to 1, Erica Scott, Strategic Business Advisor and Fractional COO. That's Chief Operations Officer. We're going to find out if you'd like to take your business to the next level of success. We're going to talk about the silver tsunami and whether your business will fulfill your retirement dreams and how you can reduce stress and achieve a sharper operational focus for your closely held family business. Erica, welcome to PWM.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Glad to have you. And from 1 to 2, we have our, I won't call him an old friend, but he's a good friend, Professor of Macroeconomics Lee Ohanian. He's at UCLA and also a senior fellow at the Hoover Institution. We're going to be talking about upcoming changes at the Federal Reserve and how they may impact your business and retirement, impacts on inflation, tariffs, the one big beautiful bill, AI, and all the vast new capital investments in the United States. And he's also done some research and study on the Palisades fire and has asked the question, and I think he's answered it as well, could it have been prevented at no cost? You can call in or text with questions, 805-238-5775, 238-KPRL. So, Erica, tell us a little bit about yourself. How did you go from being having a master's degree in public policy, which is kind of like politics and how, you know, government runs and all that kind of stuff, into becoming a fractional chief operations officer?
Sure. So I spent about 20 years in industry, 10 years in ag industry with a consumer packaged goods company, doing a lot of sales, marketing, just learning how to be the hub and how operations work. Mm-hmm. Then I went and worked in higher education. Had a different industry, and I realized people and processes are sort of my thing. Mm-hmm. And I was fortunate enough to get my master's degree at Cal Poly and was able to use that. I really leaned into the areas of the analytics, the leadership, program analysis, and crisis management, and it really just goes really with the people and processes. And so now I've taken that and applied it to many industries with strategic planning and operational support.
So having a degree in public policy is kind of like having a degree in political science. After you get out of college, you have to go get a real job, right?
Yes, there's depending on which route you want to go.
Because that's my experience.
I would say I went probably an untraditional route for people who get the public policy.
Yeah, I got it. So tell us a little bit about your business first. I mean, you're a fractional chief operations officer. The name of your company is Book a COO. Give us a little bit, give the audience a little background, you know, a picture of what you do, and then we'll get more into it more deeply.
Sure. Fractional is a growing segment of providers, essentially, you know, a business that's growing, scaling. It's hard to find the budget or know when to hire a full-time mm-hmm. operations person. And so by going the fractional route, meaning you can hire them a quarter time, a half time, just really scale to what your needs are so that you can start offloading things from that CEO, that business owner. They're the visionary and they're able to get more done with an mm-hmm. operations person who's really in that mindset of execution and implementation and strategy. And so by bringing in a fractional, you're able to do that at a much lower cost, but a higher level of expertise.
Well, and there's a whole cottage industry, I would say, of CMOs, fractional CMOs, fractional mm-hmm. CEOs, and CFOs. So you're kind of part of the team, right?
Yeah, and that really brought me to bringing together Book a COO, where it is a network of fractional COOs to partner with those fractional CFOs, CMOs, and depending on how the business is scaling or what their needs are, if it's a special project or initiative, then we also work with each other, refer to each other, and you get the help that you need when you need it without having to figure out what's next or the operational person can really help you prioritize who to bring on when.
Yeah, sounds great. So in my experience, and let me back up. What are your target companies? I mean, do you have a profile real quickly of the type of companies you want to work with?
Typically businesses that are the upper six figure. I mean, so like they're approaching a million or more, million to 5 million, scaling up to 10 million. They have
revenue.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And they have, a handful of employees, typically, maybe a couple dozen. They have some managers. They need some alignment amongst their leadership team, their management team, and they need some clarity around where they're headed and the goals, and actually setting some of those actually tactical metrics for success. And so somebody from the outside can come in and get everybody aligned with a lot less frustration and clarity, because there's, within an organization, there's different personalities and people get set and doing things a certain way. So I have a framework called Strategic Plan Now that I think we'll address later that gives that structure to align the team around for getting more done.
Well, and it's probably a lot more cost effective than hiring full-time people that you may be great for a few months or whatever it is, and then you find out it wasn't a great choice, right?
Right. And a fractional can really help with that hiring process. Mm-hmm. So they can help you get things in line in order, whether it's scaling or just even getting things in order and getting a system into place. Then they can help to identify what are those positions you need, getting the job descriptions, and then how do you actually hire? And they can even assist with hiring the right candidate because they know what it takes to run the operations.
I mean, typically, so how long do you work with a company? Is it like a 1 month and to a year or 6 months? I mean, what's a typical term of your involvement?
For the best transformation and for it to actually stick, 6 months to 18 months is typically a great runway for really creating lasting change. And that all depends on the size of the organization, the willingness of participants, managers, if there need to be changes in place in different key positions. So there's a lot of factors that go into place there, but I'd say 6 months to 18 months is a typical horizon.
Okay, great. So in my experience, many of the closely held, or I call them closely held businesses, private businesses, which I work with, they're started by an entrepreneur with an idea, and they're really good at that. And then they get bogged down in the day-to-day challenges of running the business, especially in a state like California with all of our amazingly restrictive regulations and so on and so forth. What have you found to be most business owners' biggest challenges?
I think what you're saying with them being the visionary, that they either, they excel in the execution of, I say, their zone of genius. Mm-hmm. They are the talent in a certain area, or they have the idea, but bringing all the parts together that make it work behind the scenes is the challenge and can slow their progress. And so I'd say just the recognition that they don't have to do it alone, because otherwise they become the bottleneck. They're the one that they're making all the decisions. It really can stagnate growth in progress in your company.
Yeah, I like that. Zone of genius. Can I use that about myself?
Sure,
in my
absolutely.
Business? Zone of genius. Nobody's ever described me like that. So I'm looking at some notes that I took here. And I mean, the one thing that used to drive me nuts when I had an insurance agency, I mean, I loved my employees. They were all really, for the most part, they were really good and they worked hard and all that kind of stuff. But I wasn't a good manager, so operations, hiring was impossible for me because, if I liked them, I said, sure. But I didn't know how to even know I was an insurance guy.
Right.
I knew my stuff. So, those are the kinds of things you do, helping, people manage their employees and doing all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and the Strategic Plan Now framework gives some guidance in how to do that and gives some tools for evaluating if they're going to be a good fit for the organization, as well as, figuring out if you have the right people on the bus in the right seats and making sure that the organization is aligned to the operations.
I mean, and ultimately, I think something that you probably see is, probably, I'm guessing that when the first time you meet a business owner or business owners, they seem really stressed out, right?
Yes, usually they're calling at a point in which they've tried other things and they've waited too long.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm really looking to bring it to be a proactive approach mm-hmm. to improving your operations through people and processes, so that don't wait until you're in the pain point. And that's where you start getting into, there's this transfer of businesses in the coming generation over the next 5 years. And you start to think about, what does that look like? And are people preparing for it appropriately so that they don't feel that strain?
And how many months does it take for them to relax their shoulders and really relax once you've been there?
It usually takes a couple of months, but it's definitely, it can be a roller coaster.
Yeah, I'll bet.
Because it's a high trust situation and relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of what a fractional COO can do is to help to build or restore trust in the organization through the systems and transparency, communication, all those things can help to really build the trust and allow then the confidence for the business owner to know that they can delegate, because there's greater visibility of who's doing what.
Right. Okay. So there are many successful, again, family-run, privately-run businesses out there today. And there's a lot, a big transformation. I mean, we're going to talk about this, a silver tsunami, as it were. And so the original founders, the parents, want to sell their business in the next 5 to 10 years to fund their retirement. Of course, I think the statistic I've seen, 72% of business owners want to sell their business so they can retire, but only 2% know what their business is worth. Okay.
Right.
But we'll talk about that, I think, a little bit more. But to their chagrin, when they start thinking about this, they find out they're suffering from what's called the value gap.
Yes.
Explain the value gap.
So the value gap is the current value of your business, not based on your assumptions or your ideas or what your realtor told you or your banker. It is a valuation. There's actually reports. There's several different softwares available that you can use, and a lot of different providers that will administer these valuation reports. I don't personally do them. I partner with people to do them, but the output that they give me a foundation for helping to implement and create transformation. Mm-hmm. So this valuation and the value gap is what the real current state is, not what you think it is, to what you could be if you did certain activities based on your timeline and a multitude of factors. One major thing would be the owner dominance. How much is the business reliant on on the owner themselves? And that will drastically reduce the value of your business if you're not setting up your business to run without you.
Right. And if you get to the point when you're ready to sell, first of all, your biggest problem is, because again, as you know, I do business valuation.
Yes.
And if, especially when it comes to all the succession planning stuff. But, you know, when it comes to selling the business and it's not what you want it to be worth, it's going to delay the sale or you delay your retirement.
Yes.
So what do you think? You need a good 5 to 10 year
horizon
before you start doing these types of things, right?
Right. Yeah. And there seems to be a trend of business owners that are getting fed up with things that they're ready. They're just ready to be done. And they're really leaving a lot of money on the table and losing opportunity for real growth and to fund their retirement.
Right.
Or their legacy for future generations and livelihood for future generations if they're going to pass the business on.
Right. And then, of course, and again, I'm getting a little bit into the weeds, but sometimes you have kids in your business that are going to maybe be the successors.
Yes.
Then you have kids that may be outside the business, but are expecting to get a piece of that inheritance, so to speak, the value of that. So, you know, what you're doing here is helping them cope with all those various different aspects, right?
Right. So that valuation really give you where we're at now. So we got to know where we're at, so we know where we want to go and how we're going to get there.
Right. It's a roadmap.
Yes, it is.
It's a roadmap. Just real quickly, what are you know, the family businesses that you've worked with, what are some of the big challenges that you've seen in that one, in that aspect of things?
It's often the owners who aren't ready to hand off because they don't have that confidence that processes, relationships, things are documented. So that's where SOPs, standard operating procedures, even just having your Rolodex, you know, what was your Rolodex now, you know, your CRM, like knowing who are your vendors, who are your clients, building those relationships and having confidence. So that's where, again, the strategic plan now, it gives you a solid foundation of mission, vision, core values, strategic objectives,
this is a common set of rules and a foundation for which we say this is how we do business. Mm-hmm. And then that starts to build the confidence. Then we have action plans and things. And the more confidence that the business owner has, that they can start delegating and trusting to hand things off, and mm-hmm. that there is a plan in place, then they can start, you know, taking more time and gradually moving into handing off.
Yep. All right. Let's talk about this whole silver tsunami thing, and I know you've got some interesting insights and statistics on that. So explain what, because again, and it's you know, the two things that you're hearing for in the insurance into the financial, what's the word I'm looking for, the financial retirement aspect of things from insurance companies and financial houses is longevity. Because mm-hmm. people are living longer, so they got to start planning for a longer time horizon.
Yes.
And then also, again, the silver tsunami, because your business plays such a big part in what you're going to use for retirement. So why don't you talk a little bit about that?
Yes. Yeah, so there is I don't know if you would call it an epidemic. It is a wave, the tsunami, wave. the wave of baby boomers that will be officially retiring and handing off their businesses in the next 5 years up until 2030, that the wave is going to, you know, sort of crest in 2030 and so, you know, we have this 5-year horizon for those who really want to get ahead, get that valuation, start creating the transformation. Because the great thing about those valuation reports is they give you real insight as to what you need to do to make sure that you're increasing that value. And so that's where that silver tsunami is going to be, these baby boomers, that the transfer of wealth, of the sale of businesses, the transfer. And so getting ahead of that is the planning.
Yep.
Yes.
And what are some of the biggest mistakes that you see business owners making during succession planning?
They don't have a plan.
They don't have a plan.
They're not planning. Yeah, okay. It's that simple. It's they have avoided the conversations, mm-hmm. because there's some tough conversations, especially when you're dealing with family businesses, like you've said. Maybe there's one of the children is in the business, somebody's not. You have to navigate those things. And where you're helping to reduce risk by, you use the valuation to help them assess if they need insurance needs to protect that business as well. Mm-hmm. And so that's a very foundational thing of, at the bare minimum, have the valuation and have the insurance in place to protect that legacy and that income for generations to come.
So in the last few minutes we have in this segment, and we'll roll it into the next segment as well, what are the steps you think business owners should utilize to avoid these problems and start the planning process?
Get help. Don't do it on your own. Mm-hmm. If you were going to do it, you would have done it by now. Mm-hmm. And so I know it can be challenging. You bring in consultants, coaches, and you feel like you're not getting a real change. And that's why I really focus on the fractional COO piece, is that is implementation. So you want to make sure that you're having that accountability and the help to implement change. So not having a roadmap and then not following it. Mm-hmm. So the biggest thing you can do as a business owner is get the help that you need so that you can delegate with confidence.
So again, how can I ask this question? So how much resistance do you generally encounter when you're trying to go through that process with a business? I guess it depends on the personality of the business owner. But I mean, what are some of the big, they don't want to give up control, or they're just too bullheaded?
It's a couple of things. I do feel like there can be personalities. I say, you know, strategic plan now works for every industry. It doesn't work for every owner, because those personality differences. And so I think so much of our identity gets wrapped up in what we do, mm-hmm. that it can be like, what is going to happen afterwards? And the Exit Planning Institute is making a lot of efforts in helping business owners to see what is next, so that they are willing to step away from the business. They're mm-hmm. really to see the life after the day-to-day, and that it's all what they worked for their entire life, is to be able to have that freedom and be able to do the things they want to do, to go on that vacation.
Yeah. I know that one of the big things that was in my agency was that, even though I had some good employees, there were ones that thought they were, it was really their business and they were going to run it the way they wanted to do it. That was always a big challenge for me. So
alignment is important.
Alignment is important. Okay, when we return, I'm going to ask Erica to explain her strategic, her 30-day jumpstart program so you guys can get an idea of how she gets this ball rolling to help you. So stand by. We'll be back in about 2 minutes.
Before we realize it, we will begin celebrating another new year. At Davis Body Shop, we have taken part in over 50 New Year celebrations, and it started back in 1962. Over these years, our New Year's resolutions have remained the same, giving you impeccable quality workmanship, always giving you a written guarantee, giving you the very best value, and making sure that your experience is as pleasant as possible. And that includes assisting you in getting your insurance paperwork filed properly. Remember, at Davis Body Shop, you get a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Davis Body Shop has two locations, one on El Camino Real, downtown Atascadero, and the other on Theater Drive at Paso Chevrolet. From the Davis Body Shop family to yours, best wishes for a happy holiday season.
Listen to this real Paso Robles Glass customer where they installed 23 replacement Milgard Tuscany windows and two sliding doors.
Steve Eklund, Craig Smith as an architect and a proud and honored client of Paso Robles Glass. Hey, the boys are doing a great job. They just left. Everything is just fine. Extremely good crew. You got that crew is exceptional. They're all hardworking guys, very careful, very cautious. All is good. I think they have one more day tomorrow, wrap it up, the finished work. I'd like to set up a time to come up and see you next week. I've got a big, big project I'd like you to look at for me. Whatever works on your end, just wanted to let you know, Steve. Take care. Bye.
Get rid of your old broken windows and get new Milgard energy-efficient windows and doors with Milgard's ironclad lifetime warranty.
Welcome back to Protecting What Matters. We're visiting with Erica Scott, Strategic Business Advisor and Fractional Chief Operations Officer. You can call in or text with questions, 805-238-5775, 238-KPRL. So, Erica, you know, let's run through. First of all, how's the best way for people to find out more about what you do? Go to your website?
Sure. My website is ericaellis.com. CoErikaAlice.co, no mm-hmm. M on the end, just co. Mm-hmm. Or they can email me at info@bookacoo.com.
Yeah, and I mean, I Googled Book a COO, and you pop up there too, so that's good.
Yes.
And folks, you really, those of you who have businesses, you really should check this out. Okay, so let's start this next segment here. With you've developed a 30-day jumpstart program for owners to gain insights on how they can improve their company and then how they can, what next steps after they get those insights that they can take. So take the last few minutes here to kind of describe what that looks like and how it works.
Sure. I call it a jumpstart because I use the analogy of your business is like a car on a road trip and you are the driver and I'll be your GPS and as your guide. But that jump start is going to be that look under the hood before we embark on the journey. So we want to make sure everything's in working order.
So it's kind of like the tune-up before you go on the road trip.
Yeah, it's understanding what are we working with? Is there something we need to do beforehand? So that's going to be taking a look at, you know, what do we have in place? What's the current org chart? What are there any gaps we're going to try to look at? And then I walk you through a process of starting. So strategic plan now is see it, plan it, do it. See it's that first phase where you're really getting those assessments and understanding the current state so we, again, know where we're headed. We can start making a plan and then we can start to leverage it and draft a mission, a vision, core values, strategic objectives that everybody can align to And then at the end of the 30 days, you'll have a mini roadmap that you can then refine with your team or over time so that you can really get to that true state of where you're headed.
So it looks like, though, you know, you provide people with a lot of tools like worksheets and so on and so forth so they can get clarity on yes. where they're at.
Yes. So it's a series of worksheets, assessments, questionnaires. I tailor it to each business owner. It's not, I do have a set system, but I adjust to if we need to dive deeper into your leadership style or the leadership style of your management. We really tailor it to what you need and the areas of growth. Maybe you're looking for ways for efficiency, leveraging AI. The operations can really be that hub of resource, and we start to look at where we can start to make some real impact quickly.
So, and I mean, you not only speak to the owner, but you also speak to employees and other key staff, right?
Again, depends on the organization and what the owner wants. If the owner is wanting to just get it, see what it's like to work with somebody as a coach, consultant, or fractional basis, that 30-day jumpstart gives that picture. But depending on what the owner in the business is looking to achieve, then it might be a combination of working behind the scenes with staff and evaluating them too to get that true picture. And I've often found that when I am given access to staff, I get really candid responses, and it's something that they won't say to their boss, but it's something the boss should know, and they're grateful to know at the end, because then they can really make a transformation or take steps to make change.
So they tell you, you know, it's like working with Genghis Khan or something like that, right?
Yeah.
That's pretty funny. All right, and then what happens, let's assuming that, you know, you've got a roadmap, and then what are like some key recommendations that are generally people will get from that roadmap?
Yeah, so from that roadmap, they're going to get that draft, mission, vision, core values, strategic objectives. If you already have some of those things, we can assess that, or we just jump into more of that annual planning. We start moving along the progression mm-hmm. of what the program is, mm-hmm. and then it's going to give you some action steps of what you can be doing over the next 30 to 90 days. And then from there, if you decide that you want to have a more personalized one-on-one support, then we can come up with a plan for that. Okay. From 90-day sprints, if it's on a certain area, or just management support and helping to come in your manager meetings and make sure you have structure and you're all checking the right key performance indicators and metrics and tactics mm-hmm. and just keeping everybody moving along and in alignment.
So when you get hired as a fractional COO, how does an owner introduce you to the staff? I mean, how does that kind of look?
I mean, I help like draft the narrative and coach them through like how to introduce it. Mm-hmm. And usually if they are going to have me work with the staff or interview the staff, then that's a great way to say we're working with mm-hmm. Erica on operations, and she's going to come in, open the doors, show her what's going mm-hmm. on so she can get an understanding of what's happening in the business, what systems we use, so that she can make the best recommendations for us.
Okay. And so now I'm going to get in a plug-in for what I do. Where does a business valuation fit into your process?
Sure. It can be before, if they've had a valuation and now they need help with the transformation to fill that value gap, mm-hmm. or if it gets identified through my assessments that it's something they haven't done, mm-hmm. then I will work with the providers to get them the valuation they need based on what the outcome is. Say they need to reduce risk and have insurance, then you're a great partner for that mm-hmm. because I know that that's going to be a complimentary service that's already built in, and it's going to reduce the time they spend looking for the right provider.
Okay, and you know, aside from getting the actual value of the business in a snapshot of the current reality and where they want to go so they can overcome the value gap.
Yes.
There's also the whole KPI or the key performance indicators.
Yes.
That should come with a good business valuation, right? Yes. And how does that inform people's thinking?
So usually the valuation software will have different reports mm-hmm. and various robust or areas depending on what you're looking for. Mm-hmm. They typically have some sort of strategic planning or metrics that get come out. I typically will take that and incorporate it into the strategic plan now framework. I heavily leverage AI, and I can help business owners also figure out how to leverage that information that they can use it and create efficiency in their business long term over time. And then it becomes another tool that saves their staff and creates that alignment. But we can put that report in and analyze it along with the other assessments to really create a solid roadmap. So we're,
finish up your thought.
So we get the mini roadmap in the 30-day, and we can build out the comprehensive over a longer horizon.
Got it. All right. Well, Erica, thanks for coming in. Well, I think you can come back as a regular as we go into 2026.
And, yeah, I'd appreciate the opportunity.
And have a great holiday. And folks, we'll be back. So thank you for being here. Book a COO. Just all you have to do is put it in your Google search, and you'll find everything out you need to know about Erica. We'll be back on the other side of the break with Lee Ohanian, professor of macroeconomics at UCLA and senior fellow at the Hoover Institution. So stand by.
AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.
It's 1 o'clock.